3, 2, 1, 2.
Hello and welcome to Round the Houses, the podcast where I, Sarah Beeny, visit the homes of some of the most interesting people I've ever met and find out what really makes them tick. So today we are in the production mobile. This is Angie's brilliant car. And we are going to interview the gorgeous Joe Sugg in his penthouse apartment, which is brilliant. So not only do I get to interview someone who actually my kids consider me to be cool to know, but also I get to go into a penthouse apartment, which is unbelievably fab as well. So an Englishman's castle is his home, but in Joe's case, his home is less like a castle and more like a sensational two-story luxury penthouse with a mere five separate roof terraces. Now, Joe started his first YouTube channel in 2011, and within 2 years, he had 1 million subscribers. He now has over 12 million regular viewers across 3 different channels. And if that's not enough, he also runs various companies, has authored a best-selling series of graphic novels, co-owns a merchandise company with his fellow YouTuber and sister Zoella, and of course is currently wowing the judges and audience alike, strutting his stuff rather well, I must say, in Strictly. Phew. So not only do I get to see inside the home where he films, but I also get to find out how his amazing career took off. I'm here with the wonderful Joe Sugg. Thank you so much
Pleasure.
For letting me come to your fabulous flat.
Yeah, welcome to my home.
And it is a home and a half. This is really sensational. You've got the most incredible view from your brilliant and lovely sitting room. This is actually a house on the top floor, isn't it? So it's sort of penthouse.
Yeah, it's a penthouse, yeah. Yeah.
And did you ever think you were going to have a penthouse?
Never in a million years. You know, I honestly thought I was going to end up living in a thatched cottage because that was my old job at the time.
Okay, because you're a thatcher.
Yeah, I honestly thought that I'd end up just thatching my own roof and living in a tiny little house, which would have been great, but I feel like, and I noticed a lot when I was doing that job, we were working mainly for Londoners that had moved to the countryside. Of this ideal, like, living in an ideal little cottage in the middle of nowhere with a thatched roof. And I think from working on them, I realised that I wouldn't actually want to live in a thatched cottage because it makes it too dark. I love having big windows. You probably see I love having big windows that let a lot of light in. But the only thing that's difficult about living here is that obviously I try and, because I've got these amazing views and I vlog my life, like I video from in here, within here a lot, I've got to be very careful about what I show in the background. So if I show like a view outside the window, I'm always worried that, you know, it'll...
Showing your dirty knickers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you feel that you're a little bit constantly on sort of display in a way? Because you are, aren't you? Your life is on display.
In a sense, yeah. I think that's sort of what I signed up for, I guess, with the job. Although when I first started, I never knew it would get to this sort of level at all. I just thought, you know, I'm doing this as a hobby on the side of what I'm doing now. I saw from my sister that she was doing quite well off of it. And I thought, well, you know, there's a potential career in this. And then it just sort of snowballed and got bigger and bigger and bigger.
So let's wind right back, because I'm really interested. So when you were growing up, there was you and your sister and your parents, and it was all quite sort of normal. What sort of house was that you lived in?
That was a semi-detached house.
Whereabouts?
In a place called Laycock in Wiltshire.
So in the countryside, or is it small?
Yeah, very much the countryside. Okay. We had a common across the road from us with a wood, and I spent most of my time as a kid growing up in that wood, building dens and tree houses and stuff like that.
So you had a really normal childhood.
Yeah.
And were you popular at school?
In primary school, I was. To start with, I'm always quite a shy person. It takes me a while to come up my shell a bit, I felt like, which is kind of unusual with the job that I have now, whereas I'm sort of portraying this sort of person. Of like, it's like an amplified version of myself. And a lot of people say that when they meet me, I'm always a lot quieter. It takes me a while to sort of feel comfortable around like new people and this kind of thing. Sounds weird because obviously I'm around new people now. Don't worry, we're all fine. Secondary school was a little bit more daunting because my primary school that I grew up in, we had 52 pupils in the whole of our school.
Oh,
so it was very small, 3 classes, and that was it. So, and everyone knew each other because we're all from the same village. So then going from there to secondary school was a lot more intense for me and very, very daunting.
So when you started on YouTube, Were you given a phone by your parents? Is that how you did it, or did you borrow their phone?
I got my first phone when I was probably about 12, I think. But that was before you could even film on them. That was like the days of like making your own ringtones and storing like 5 text messages. But I think my parents always had like camcorders for like family holidays.
Okay. So did you play with the camcorders a lot?
Yeah,
and
so
want
we
to
used
film?
To play with the cameras a lot. We used to have these little digital cameras that we take on family holidays, and we found that there was a film recording option on the camera as well. So like most cameras now, you can record on them as well as take photographs. And I was always more interested in filming the videos than taking the photographs. I can remember me and my sister, because I think maybe it's because we grew up in a small village with not a lot to do. We always used to put on like our own plays, and we used to record our own radio stations on blank cassettes. We used to always buy loads of blank cassettes in like bulk from like Audi or Lidl and record on them and record our own like radio shows with our friends and that kind of thing.
And did your parents encourage this, or did they find it annoying?
Yeah, they found it entertaining to watch. We used to like put on plays for them and that kind of thing. I think both my parents are very creative as well in different ways. So my mum is amazing at like painting, and like she's at the moment she's a jewellery maker. She makes jewellery, and she's always doing creative things and is really encouraging with that. And my dad is also very creative in terms of his sense of humour. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a very like unusual sense of humour, which I think has rubbed off on me a bit as well on the stuff that I make.
And what did he do? What did he do?
He was a carpenter, and then he was a property developer for a long time as well. So he had his own property developing business.
So they were encouraging of your kind of new career, but yeah. It wasn't... I mean, a lot of people would say that it probably isn't a career. I mean, it is a career now, but it wasn't a career. And
yeah.
When did it turn from you mucking around to being a career?
I think the moment I thought, OK, this is serious now, is when I got signed to a management company. When I decided that I was going to go full-time as well, I moved to London. I think the day I moved to London, I remember that initial stage of thinking, well, I hope there's enough for me to do in the week, because to start with, I was doing one video a week, but I'd stop the roof 5 days a week. On the Saturday, I'd film a video and put it out on the Sunday. And I was thinking, you know, this is working. By me then stopping what I'm doing on the roof and putting all my time into this...
What happens if you can't eat?
Yeah, well, I was thinking, like, well, is there enough for me to do? Is there enough work coming in from brands? Because it was still so early, I wasn't expecting even to do branded work back then or anything like that. I was worried that I was going to sit around in London doing nothing all day until, like, just getting one video out a week.
Do you think in some ways one of the reasons that you've been successful is because of the timing? Do you think it would be as easy?
I think that was a massive factor in it, 100%. Yeah, I think we were so fortunate to hit it at the time that we did.
Because you rose with it, because it wasn't really around.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
When
in a sense, we're kind of like, especially in the UK, I feel like America are always slightly ahead of the UK with social media. It's a lot more accepted in America, I find. Whereas in the UK, it's still a lot of sort of question marks around it and being like, well, how is this a job, like this kind of thing.
And where do you think it's going to go? I'm really interested in this. You rose with it in a way,
yeah.
and therefore you're right at the forefront of social media. It's one, you know, if someone says social media in this country, they'd say Joe Suck, they'd know who you were.
Yeah.
So where's the next journey?
For me, I think it's all about having your options, because I've off the back of this whole YouTube thing, I've managed to start up sort of 4 or 5 other companies, which I run with other people and some for myself.
And what do they do?
One of them is a merchandise company with my sister, which did really, really well, really, really well last year. We're just a bit of rejigging now for this year. We do things like hoodies, T-shirts, mm-hmm. phone cases, calendars.
Branded.
All branded under me and my sister. I also have at the moment, setting up a denim brand with a friend of mine who I've met just through the people that I've met along the way. It's completely separate to the merch stuff. Merch is more sort of for the viewers who watch us, but this is more sort of to try and put in shops and more of like a sort of like a high-end kind of fashion brand. I had a production company, which at the moment we haven't got any more, but I did have, so actually maybe it's down to 4, which was really good. Me and my roommate set it up, and we made 2 films that went straight to DVD, and one of them got to number 1.
Cool.
It was the fastest set. It's called Joe and Casper Hit the Road. It was like a travel film. We played ourselves. It was the fastest selling DVD of 2015 on Amazon.
Boom!
Which was pretty cool. Yeah,
it was amazing.
A nice little thing like that. And then the whole publishing stuff as well. Like, I did the graphic. I did 3 graphic novels with Hodder as well. The first one was the fastest selling graphic novel of all time as well, which is really cool. It's all cool things to put on the CV.
Amazing, yeah. But, what do you really want to do? What's the thing you really want to do?
Do you know what? I feel like I'm still trying to figure that out. It's because we've got such a large, dedicated audience who, like, sort of know us so well. You feel like you're given the reins to sort of try out and test whatever you want. And it's weird to be put in a position now where, because I'm a very creative person, I don't want to ever like box myself into being one thing. I always find it so difficult to put, like, people ask me, so what do you do? I'm always like,
stuff.
And I almost want to be like completely modest and say, oh, I just make videos on the internet.
Yes.
But then it depends who you're talking to, because they can be like, wait, what? What does that mean? Like, yeah. Worried or, oh, cool. And there's not understand like how big it actually is.
Because it's new in a way, well, it's not that new, but it is quite new.
Yeah.
There's not sort of old fashioned titles that you can stick onto it.
No.
So no, it's, yeah. It's a kind of difficult area.
Yeah,
to...
I guess like there's definitely that entrepreneurial side of it. We're working on different businesses and that kind of thing, but while still being creative and making these kind of videos and content, it's a difficult one to put. It depends who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
So if I want to impress someone, I'll say I'm a digital entrepreneur. If I'm with my mates, I'd say I make videos online.
Yeah. And do you want to work with your sister more or not?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's throughout my time on YouTube, I've had opportunities to collaborate with so many different creators from all around the world. But I always, in my view, it's always important to have that chemistry on camera. I think it's more important. So there's been times where I've had the opportunity to collaborate with people who have way more following than me. And from a business point of view, it's great because think of the crossover of audience. Like they'll come over to your channel and subscribe and it'll grow your channel. But there's been times where I've sort of turned that down because I don't want it to ever seem like very like forced and like sort of like awkward on camera. Because as well, like my audience can sense that. Like my audience know me so well and I know my audience quite well.
Do you think it's made you, because you're incredibly honest and you're very open,
yeah.
And much more so than probably people who are in the public eye,
yeah.
Who are 20, 30 years older than you, who are much more guarded. But is it because you are like that, that you've been so successful in some ways, or have you had to be like that?
I think that's part of the reason why we've all had such good sort of success over the years, is because we've been very, very open about everything. Like, and they can go back and watch our very first vlogs and actually see us grow, and a lot of them have grown up with us over the years,
yeah.
And they've seen that we weren't ever expecting what we did to get this big at all. Like we started it off as a hobby and we're all like friends, all doing it together, we go in each other's houses and collaborate with each other. So with our job, we were the sort of first people to doing it, we never knew it would get to the level it's got to now. And do you get people say like, you know, you make one video a week, if you miss a week of videos, they're like, you make one video a week, how can you not do it? It's simple, it's your job. But it's like, one, we never knew we were going to do it. Yeah, it's like we've done it for 5 years now. Yeah. It's a long time to be doing the same thing. And
do you ever miss a week now?
Yeah, at the moment I do. Every now and then I'll miss sort of like, I think like 2 weeks maximum and stuff. But then I'm also, that's because I'm either focusing on other things a lot more, or I mean, at the moment I run three different channels.
Yeah, that's
If I miss out on one channel, like the sort of channel that started it all, I'll make sure I've uploaded sort of two or three videos on the other channels. There's never a week of nothing from me. It's always...
And do you have like... sort of phone off time? Do you just stick your phone somewhere and every device and just think, I just don't need it, I just want to be off it?
It's difficult and I can do it, but I guess my phone is like my main tool for my job.
Yeah, but your job is 24/7, isn't
it? Yeah, it is.
Unlike a lot of jobs.
It's worldwide as well, so there's never a bad time to tweet, because
because
I could tweet at 3 a.m, but then the Australians they're seeing that at their sort of time. So it's like, because that's the thing, YouTube, it's accessible from anyone who's got an internet connection around the world.
Yeah.
So it's not just UK. I think my audience is like half UK, half American split. And then third biggest, I think, is Canada and then Australia. I think Philippines is up there. So it's like,
amazing.
It's all around the world. It's crazy.
So do you put it down when you go to a restaurant? Do you have it out?
We play this game. We will put our phones in the middle. And the first one to touch their phone has to pay the whole bill.
I love that game.
Which is great.
I love
that game.
Good.
I've
really
good.
Noticed recently, which I'm really excited about, that meetings that you go to, you know, you used to go to meetings a few years ago and everyone would get out their phone and put it on the table. Then politely, they'd put them onto vibrate only, but then they'd still answer their phone the whole way through the meeting, which is just really weird.
Yeah.
And I've noticed now that no one puts their phone on the table anymore.
No.
So I think there's this kind of movement towards just going, okay, should we just focus on one thing at one time, because that's really nice.
I feel like I am very good. Like, if I go on holiday and stuff, and I'm not going to like put it on the internet and stuff, I'm very good at sort of leave my phone alone and that kind of thing. So I think it's probably from my childhood of not really using my phone much, even when I had one anyway, because I'd be outside. Like if it's a nice day, I'm not going to be. I hate to be stuck inside on a nice day. I like to be outside.
I have this discussion with lots of people who have children, and I think that children should just go outside and just sort of be bored, actually, because it's really good for you to be bored.
Yeah.
So you should just, and adults should be bored as well. It's really good for us to just sort of sit there with nothing to do.
The other day I didn't upload a video because it was one of the nicest weekends, and I thought this could be the only nice weekend we actually get in London. So I was like, right, let's make the most of it. So I was out there in the sun, and I just tweet saying, sorry, there's no video this week, but you know what? It's a really nice weekend. Go outside, Which is kind of a, it's kind of like the opposite of what I should be saying with my job. I was like, get outside and
I'm
have fun
even
in the sun.
I'm an even bigger Joe Sun fan. This is superb.
So we're here in this amazing, fantastic room, which is, it's a big open plan, kitchen, dining, living space, and you've got table football, or
yes,
foosball it's called, isn't it?
Table,
why
yeah.
is it called foosball? I've never understood that.
I think that's what Americans call it.
Oh, is it?
I'm not too sure, yeah, but that's actually got a very special place in my heart. So that's the exact same table football, not the exact same one, but the same model that we had in our sixth form at school, back in Wiltshire. Me and the rest of my mates, we spent all our lunch times, all our break times playing it. You'd line up with 20 p's on the side.
Are you good at it?
I am quite good, yeah. Are
you? I'm really good.
I've become very good at it.
Do you want to game?
You should.
And, I'm actually really rubbish, but I'm going to beat you.
As YouTube got bigger and bigger, I thought one of the things I really want, because they are quite expensive. It's like the real deal.
Because they're better than the rubbish ones.
So yeah, it's a proper one. So there's a coin slot thing down here, but I've set it so it's free.
No, you should charge
the
balls. People.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can actually set it to £2 a go, which is
Kenny,
for
that's
London.
Brilliant.
That's London prices.
Yeah, that's great. Do you play? You can spin or not?
Okay.
You just got a goal. Yeah, I was thinking.
So so you can't spin. That's like
so you don't.
Yeah.
See, I think you can spin.
Do you know what? I'll let you spin as you're. As it's already 2-0, I'll let you spin.
2-0,
yeah.
That's outrageous. Right, okay. Hang on.
As soon as I got the opportunity, I thought I need to own one of these. And now I have it, and it's so heavy duty and like a big, like such a big piece of kit that I now can't really get rid of it.
Really annoying. You've got a wasted youth.
Do you know what? I have been thinking recently about maybe getting rid of it, only because this is such an ideal space for a dining room table. And having friends around and stuff. If I've got friends around for dinner and now I've got a roommate, if you've got more than one guest, it would be ideal to have a...
Do you think you might have reached middle age? You want a dinner party?
I think I am getting older, yeah. I think it's finally, the time has finally come, yeah.
So dinner parties have arrived
We're doing this series at the moment on our channel, it's me and all my friends, like a sort of our own version of Come Dine With Me.
Oh, brilliant.
So when it gets, and I'm going last, so when it gets to my turn, I don't know, we'll either be sat around here, eating stood up, or I'm going to have to... Do something.
You need a dining room table. Sure, you can put this somewhere else. It's so massive and wonderful.
Probably, yeah.
There. So you lived with your parents, and that was a really lovely, kind of idyllic country childhood you really had.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you came to London, where did you live then?
So I moved to a place called Baron's Court with my roommate at the time, Casper, who's also my business partner and friend that I've had throughout this whole YouTube thing. It was an unusual process because I finished my job as a roof thatcher, came up to visit Casper a lot because he was living with his cousin in somewhere in North London, Highgate I think it was. And then I'd go and stay with him for a couple of days and we'd go and book in a load of visits to go and look at houses to rent or apartments or flats or whatever. This was when we were just starting to sort of blow up on YouTube even more so than we already sort of were. And we'd go and visit these places where a lot of people are still in there, like living in there. So you go around to do a, what's it, like a house visit, like a one of those kind of things, a viewing. And they were all still there. And a lot of the time, they were people that watched our videos. So we'd walk in and they'd be in there sort of like, what the hell are you doing in our apartment? We're like, oh, hello, we're just viewing it. And it was very, very unusual. And then there's this one apartment that Casper went to go and see and I wasn't in London. And he said, I really like it, but it's... The only thing is, it's very spacious, very high ceilings, but it's right next to the tube track for Baron's Court Station. He showed me the photographs, and it was very modern. We both were really into the idea of it being very like simplistic, open plan, and quite modern inside. And I said, okay, don't knock it just yet. Let me come and see it, because from the pictures, it does look really nice. But I know, obviously, from these pictures, they're taken at such a... There's such a skill to taking pictures in houses that they make them look a lot nicer than they actually are. I went up to have a look at it, and as soon as I walked in, I just knew straight away this was the place, because the high ceilings was great, the amount of space we had compared to everywhere else that we were looking for our budget, I was like, this is perfect. And the bedrooms were downstairs in the basement level.
Mm-hmm.
I quite liked that at the time. And then I said to the guy, I said, who lives in the house next door? And the left of us was a church. So they were only ever in there on Wednesdays and like Sundays. And they were like a gospel church. They were like singing all the time.
Cool.
So it was quite nice. We didn't really hear them and they were never hardly there. The house to the right was derelict. Above us was like the landlord's son and he was really cool. And so I said, for filming and stuff, this is, although you got to put the tube train going past every 2 minutes, it's actually perfect. We went for it. And I said, all we've got to do is just make the tube train going past as part of the video, just admit to it. It's like, it's what we are, you know, we're normal people.
Just have it in the back of the shop.
Yeah, like, sorry guys, tube train going past. Almost like part of the comedy of it, of living there. And we lived there for 2 years, and it was two of the best years you ever had, like, work-wise, so it was
amazing.
A good move.
So how many balconies have you got?
There's three terraces down here, and there's two upstairs. So down here is, like, sort of for guests and for roommates and that kind of thing, and then upstairs is sort of like my floor. There's only one bedroom upstairs, but I'll show you.
Let's see.
Up there.
So there's two bedrooms on the ground floor, but one of them's your recording studio.
One of them I've turned into a recording studio slash office, yeah.
Okay. And so when you bought this, I mean, this is a proper penthouse apartment.
Yeah.
This is absolutely, yeah. This is the sort of thing that most people dream of going into one day, let alone owning.
Yeah, it was, so I looked at this house, this is my favourite room in the house, this is my bathroom, which no one's actually ever seen.
It's full of plants,
it's
brilliant.
It's full of plants, but it's
oh
also,
my God, I love
so
a plant.
You, so you get changed, you get in the bath, and then when you're in the bath, you press this button, and the blind goes up, and then you're looking out across the whole.
Look, I just want to say, so Angie and Lucy, my producers here, are
their
mouths have just literally fallen open. Their literally chins have hit the floor. They don't know what, they can't shut them. They don't know what to do.
As long as there's bubbles in the bath, it's not too bad. But this for me was, when I soon saw this room, I was like, this is the place I want to live in.
Fuck me, that's amazing. When you press the button on the remote in the bath, the blind comes up and you can see about 10 miles across London.
Yeah, you almost see Brighton.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So this is your favourite place?
Yeah, definitely. This is where
the
I come
bath.
To completely chill out. Because after looking at this house, I did go to see a lot of other places, but it's almost like I'd always try and compare it to this place, and every time I'd always think, I prefer this place.
No, this is really... 100%. Do you know, when
space.
I spoke to you on the phone, because we spoke, didn't we, when you were looking for an apartment?
Yes, I asked your advice.
I know, and I gave you, do you know, I gave you the wrong advice, really matronly advice. I said, that nice, sensible freehold is what you want, not this amazing, incredible penthouse apartment. But you were right, this is absolutely amazing. And I really get why you bought this, because it's totally fantastic.
And it's, I think the main thing for me is having the space as well.
Yeah.
It's got to be spacious. I'd rather be further out of London and have more space than be in the mix of it and not
yes.
in the space, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, if you're going to be right in the middle, then you need to have somewhere you have to go to, whereas this is a whole...
I mean, I work mainly from home, so it's like having the space is quite important for me.
What's that up here?
So up there, so I've got two...
A walk-in wardrobe.
On the floor plan, this is technically her wardrobe, but there isn't
I love
her.
It. You're actually awfully, awfully anal as well, because your T-shirts are lined up in colour-coordinated order.
I knew you were coming, so that's why, that's why I didn't know.
You spent all night getting them all out, haven't you? Sorting the colours out.
I've been trying to wind down in the evenings more. I've been advised not to take my phone before going to bed, because it stimulates your mind too much. So I've been spending the last sort of 2 weeks trying to go through all this. That's why there's always bags of clothes for charity out there.
Oh, so that's this all. Is a new order?
This is all the new...
This isn't...
Yeah.
This isn't... Because that would be... That's kind of quite amazing in its order.
Well, I'm a Virgo, so it's your classic Virgo wardrobe of everything very neat and tidy.
Perfect. And so you're a very tidy person. It's not hard, is it, keeping all this beautiful?
No.
What's up here?
And up here is his wardrobe.
I love it.
That's another one.
Do your parents come and stay with you much in London?
Every now and then, yeah.
Do you go down to them?
I go and visit them a lot, yeah. Which is kind of nice for me, because it's nice to go back to the quiet of the West Country.
Yeah.
Get a bit of fresh air.
And your parents, when you showed them this, you brought your dad up, did you? And said, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Was he like...
He swore. He swore. Because he works in property as well. He was like, okay, cool. Don't get ahead of yourselves. You know, these things can fall through and that kind of thing. I had to look at getting a mortgage, sort a mortgage out. Then we had a lot of negotiation with the people who were selling the house. I managed to knock a bit of the price off, that kind of thing.
Right.
This is it, yeah.
Brilliant. So where's private for you? What's the thing that you don't let anyone see or anyone know?
Certain holidays. Sometimes I'll try and book at least one holiday a year where I go with just my mates or like my family, like my sister or somewhere. And we probably won't film that. It's nice to have a holiday where you just don't, you know, you completely switch off.
That's your kind of downtime where you're just... Do you think people judge you? Or do you not care?
I think so. I think if they didn't, it would be quite bizarre because I've got such a large audience. And I've sort of got it in my head from day one that, you know, with a large audience, you can't please every single person. It's impossible. So if I make a video 1 week that, you know, majority could love, but there'll be always that percentage that didn't like it or, yeah, you're always
going to
get
judged. So you have to not care.
Yeah, you've got to sort of have quite a thick skin, I think, to be in what we're doing. Because, we are sort of sharing our lives with people. And so people are criticising not necessarily what we do, but they're also criticising our lives.
Yeah.
Like, and the way we live our lives.
I guess they feel entitled to do that because they think, well, you've put it out, so I can be rude to you.
That's the thing, you've got to be so careful about what you say and do, because the internet is out there forever, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people then, as soon as you put a video out, people have long copied the video, so they have it saved. And so, like, if you say one small thing wrong, that's it. I've had one person who's actually figured out where I live, and they've knocked on my door, and I thought it was next neighbour's kids. So,
well, like a super fan.
Yeah, and she's
she
came from America as well. Yeah. So I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? She goes, oh, Joe. I was like, yep. And she said, oh, I saw that your address was online, and so I just thought I'd come and see if this was actually you. And I was like, yep, it's me. And she was like,
oh my God.
Cool. And I was like, well, really sorry, but, you know, I'm working. This is not okay. Sorry.
No.
And just sort of closed the door and locked. But I felt bad, obviously, but then you can't feel bad because this is, like, you know, there's a time and a place, and I don't think my front door is the place.
Do you think when you're 50 or 60, you'll be in London or in a field?
I'll be in a field, definitely. 100%. I think I'll be here until... Yeah, I think when I have my first child, I'll probably still be here, but I'll be looking then to move back for either further out. I think areas that I really like, I went to Richmond recently. I love Richmond. I love Barnes, like that kind of area. Yeah.
But it's still kind of London, isn't it?
But it is still kind of London, yeah. I think by then, hopefully, I think I'll be ready just to sort of go back to Wiltshire. I mean, I grew up very close to Bath. And I love Bath, because Bath's still that sort of, it's that city area, and it's close to the M4 to go to London if you need to, and it is very close to the countryside.
Yeah.
Maybe go back to Bath, I'm not sure.
So, country boy, you'll settle in the country.
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
And what will you be doing then, I wonder? That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
because you actually have no idea.
No.
And the thing you're going to be doing probably hasn't been invented yet.
Yeah. Every now and then again, I think with our job, you do get moments where you sort of panic and think, how long is it going to last for? What am I doing with my life? This kind of thing. Joe, think of it this way, so far, you're 20, 25 at the moment. Actually, I'm 25? No, I'm 26. Don't even know my own age. Well, I am 26,
Same.
26, like, for a 26-year-old, you've done all right so far. You're doing fine. You don't have to worry as much as I am worrying, because, like...
No.
Yeah, so...
No, I don't think you need to worry about anything. You're doing absolutely fine. This is amazing. And I think you've made really amazing choices, because you sort of really embraced things that have come along and made the most of them, and you're having a really nice time with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about,
and that's
you've got to
really
have fun
cool.
whilst doing it, otherwise don't do it.
Because you could just be like toiling through, thinking, I've got to do this.
Yeah.
And it's quite fluid, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And you think you'll stay here until you have the baby and move out?
Yeah, I think so, until I have the...
Are you on your own? Do you have anyone to have a baby with?
No,
no.
I've got my roommate Byron, but...
He might not be that good at making babies.
No. But no,
so
no.
There's a few hurdles to overcome
along the way. I think I've been so busy with my work and stuff, it's very hard to sort... And I'm always travelling as well, so it's very hard to sort of settle down and... I mean, I don't live a normal life, that's the thing. As much as I want to try and live a normal life, now I just don't live that sort of...
So do you think it's harder when you're kind of in the public eye to meet people and get start a relationship and hold it down? Unless it's someone else in the public eye, actually, and then... Presumably, if it was like a singer or someone, then should they be used to it? So
I guess, yeah. I don't know. I feel like you've got to sort of have your wits about you a little bit, I guess. Yeah. And you've got to, you never really know. I don't know. It's a difficult one. It's always unusual going on dates, and then if you come back here to sort of see like a reaction or something and that kind of thing. I don't know. It's. I feel like I'm a very good judge of character, though. I feel like I sort of, I'll know when it's the right person. I think I'll know. And I think I'll know as well when it's time for me to sort of settle down and slow down a bit with like what I do at the moment, then I think I'll sort of know it.
Well, it's an amazing apartment, and what an amazing life you've had
in a
short 26 years, 25, 26.
It's been a roller coaster, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very lucky.
Yeah,
thank you
so much for being so open
Pleasure.
And honest.
Sorry it's in a greenhouse. Even I'm getting very hot.
It is quite hot. I thought it was cold this morning, so I'm in a jumper.
Yeah.
But it's lovely and warm.
Yeah, thank you.
So thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Lovely. lovely to spend time chatting to Joe at home. He's an uber-charming, switched-on guy with a knowing wisdom way beyond his 27 years. You can obviously find him pretty much anywhere on the internet, but if you'd like to hear more from him and aren't already a subscriber, you can start with his original YouTube channel, Thatcher Joe. By the way, I still haven't quite got over how fabulous his view is when he lies in his bath. I really hope you're enjoying Round the Houses. If you haven't already, make sure you listen to the first episode with Julie and Clary. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Acast, or wherever you usually do your pod listening. And I've got lots more brilliant guests coming up for you, such as this one. Do you have another half?
Just dumped him.
Oh, well, it's probably best.
Actually, it's the builder that did this house!
Oh, my goodness. I hope you got mates.
Why do you think I did it? Got it done so quick.
On the next episode, Jo Wood gives me a tour of her rock and roll Camden townhouse and spills the beans on what it was really like being married to a Rolling Stone. Thanks so much to Joe for his penthouse tour, and thanks to my producers Angela Robinson and Matt Hill and Lucy Dearlove from Rethink Audio. And thanks to all of you for listening. See you soon.